Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk HCS, our bi-weekly Hamilton County Schools podcast. So this week, we're diving into school nutrition. I talk about this a lot. I don't think people realize how big of an operation school nutrition is. And we've got Kristen Noss, our director of school nutrition. Been with us 7 years. You do an amazing job. Let's start off by just introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are, but how you got into school nutrition.
Sure. So school nutrition was my first job out of grad school. I actually started 14 years ago now in 2011 as the registered dietitian, what Mallory does, and worked a few years there in that position. Then I went out to the state and was an education consultant for them, consulting with other school districts to make sure that everybody stays compliant and doing some audits. And then came back here about 7 years ago. I chose school nutrition because I'm a registered dietitian, and I've always liked the idea of how programs and our built environment can influence the way that people eat. I never had any interest in telling you not to eat a brownie. So
how did you pick brown? You know me, what old man.
So that's kind of how I ended up here. And I came from a family that relied on free and reduced meals when we were young. So I know the value of the program as well.
It's a hugely important program, not just for kids during the school day, but I know we do a ton of stuff that we may get into later outside of school during the summer. Talk just a little bit about how big of an operation we've got. You know, 70 plus locations, we're serving lunch and breakfast for 40,000 plus kids. Like, what are the numbers? How many meals do we serve? How many pounds of food do we go through? Cartons of milk? What are the numbers that you think people would like be astounded by?
So we serve about 40,000 meals per day. So that's between breakfast, lunch, and a few snacks at the end of the day. So that really makes us the largest restaurant chain in Hamilton County. If you think about it, like, we have more locations than we've got most. It is pretty massive. Our food budget is somewhere in the $12 million range, but when you break it down per meal, it's, you know, about $2 a meal. It doesn't come out to a lot.
So I'll put a pin in the $12 million, but interesting, $2 for breakfast. And is it $3 for lunch?
We charge $2 for breakfast and $3 for lunch, and that's our total budget. So that has to include what we pay our staff and, you know, things like chemicals and pest control. So we don't have bonds, those sorts of things. But food itself, we're working with about a $2 per lunch budget.
Yeah. So what does a typical lunch look like? I mean, what have we changed over the years to make it more appealing, to make kids want to eat it more? Is that our decision? Is it federal government's decision?
The federal government sets the standard for how much food and which food groups we have to offer. So we have to offer all five on every tray for lunch. So you've got your protein, your grain, fruits, vegetables, and milk with every meal that any child can choose. But then we do the customization of what we're going to offer within those food groups to try to appeal to our students as best we can while still making it as healthy as possible. And our real strategy is to offer choice. So we know that when students get to choose which vegetable they want, they're more likely to eat it. So that tends to be the strategy to choose.
So I'm a kid going through lunch. How many choices do I get to make? Do I get to make a choice between like the main course or just vegetables, or like, what does that look like?
Sure. So we menu two hot options and several cold every day. I don't know if you want to chime in on that.
Yeah. So we do a total of five different entree options. So two hot and three different cold every day. And then they have two different vegetables to choose from. And then they usually have a wide assortment of fruit. So they're going to have at least three different fruit options. And then we have multiple different milk flavor options as well. So they can make.
So I'm jumping the gun and going to choices, which we should have introduced Mallory to the podcast. But Mallory Brewery is our dietitian. So tell us a little bit about what your job is as a dietitian.
Yeah, so I do a lot of the menu planning as well as recipe development. And then I work a lot with our suppliers and our vendors to help find new products and test new products with our students. And then I also work with students and their families who have special dietary needs, such as allergies, or if they have difficulty chewing or swallowing or other medical conditions.
So I want to put a pin in that and come back to it in a second. But I want to go back, Kristen, something you said. We talked a little bit about the cost of meals, said a little bit about free and reduced lunch, but we also have what we call CEP schools. Like, what does that look like? How many kids do we have on free and reduced lunch? How does all that work together?
Sure. So traditionally, we have the free and reduced program, and that's where every family can apply for a free or reduced lunch based on their household size and their income. And then we have something called the Community Eligibility Provision, or CEP, that came about probably about 10 years now. And it allows the entire school to become eligible for free meals without families having to apply. So it really helps reduce the administrative burden on us, as well as for the families, reduce that access to the program.
Do we see an increase in participation at CEP schools versus, you know, a school that isn't?
Absolutely. So anytime you offer it free, families are more apt to participate.
Yeah. So I want to go back to what we originally put a pin in. You mentioned $12 million and you said that really fast. That's a big number. Uh-huh. You're a self-funded program, which the general public sees our budget, and that $12 million gets lumped into sometimes our GP, but people don't recognize that you're running a $12 million budget that is fully self-funded. What does that actually mean?
Yeah. And to clarify, the 12 is just for food itself. So total, it's about $30 million. But self-funded means that the only money that we're working with to spend is the money that we generate from the sale or serving of meals. So for free and reduced families or CEP schools, we're getting reimbursement from the USDA for those meals. And then the families that pay, we receive that in funding, as well as the USDA provides a little bit of a stipend for each meal that's served to a paying student as well, to help make school meals more affordable for all families.
Yeah. So when we go into budget season, the reason that you don't see a big ask from school nutrition is because we're working within the budget that's either generated through the sale of lunches or breakfast or the federal program.
Correct. Yes.
So you kind of blew past this earlier. I remember when I was over operations, like, I didn't fully understand. I just imagined what happened in the school if you delivered food. But we've got like commercial size freezers at your office. We have, you know, refrigerated truck. Like, it is an operation. What does that look like day to day? Because you're having to make sure we have cafeteria workers there. We're having to make sure that food's being delivered. What is your team doing day to day?
Sure. So I think a lot of people are surprised to find out that we have a whole central office team that has to support the cafeterias. So we do have a warehouse freezer. So we have a warehouse team that's delivering food to schools. We have an HR generalist that is helping to hire people and onboard them. We have accounting and accounts payable, because schools get somewhere around 7-8 deliveries a week times 70 schools. We're looking at 500 invoices. Somebody's got to pay those bills. So yeah, it's a pretty big operation, and it takes several of us to make it all work.
Yeah. I think one of the times that I was most impressed, and it was early, I have said this on the podcast before, but I started operations right before we went into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. If you remember back then, we were really like trying to figure out like, how do we provide food for kids? Your team said yes at every single moment. When we went to Hardy, when we went to Udall Elementary and had drop spots, you guys said yes. When we went on buses and were dropping two houses, your team was on that bus. So I wanted to publicly, before we transition to talking specifically about food, to say thank you to you, but also to your team. Like, you guys do an amazing job and don't get enough credit for the work that you do in this community, not just during the school year, but also you provide some summer meals and things like that as well. So I want to say thank you for that. All right. So I've always been a big fan of school lunches. Like even as a kid, when I was a principal, I ate school lunch as a principal, but it's changed a lot. The choices, and I heard you say earlier, Mallory, that you actually go and do tastings or trials with kids.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what that looks like. How do we make sure we're getting quality food and things that kids will eat?
Yeah. So oftentimes me and Kristen will meet with our vendors together and they'll share with us any new products that they think we're interested in. And our vendors are pretty well acquainted with the kind of standard we have as well for the foods we like to see and the quality we like to see in our foods. But we always like to test it with our students just to make sure, you know, we're hitting the mark and we're not just meeting what we think would be well, but what they would also enjoy. So I'll typically pick a school. I like to do middle highs or elementaries. I kind of pick the school based off of what I think will be the best test population. And then I can go out and pass out samples and then give the kids opportunities to vote on those. And we do this quite a bit throughout the year. So, and on various different items, so lunch and breakfast items, actually getting ready to go out and test a new breakfast cereal. So it's always really fun just to see the kids' reactions.
Has there been like an item that you're like, this is not going to go over well that actually surprised you? What was it?
It was actually a chicken tender. And when I compared it, I was comparing it to the chicken tender we currently have. I just felt like ours was like, had really great seasoning, really great texture. And the other one wasn't bad. It just tasted more bland to me. And I was like, oh, they're not going to go for this. And I actually tested it on the same day we had our chicken tender served because I wanted them to be able to compare them. And they all really liked it.
So did we make a change?
There was a potential for a change, but the way we were doing it was with a commodity bid. So that vendor was able to place a bid on that item. I don't think they ended up winning the bid, but they were able to participate in the process.
So when we talked earlier, I think when people think of variety of foods, we often go to food allergies. That's become more prominent. And I think most people recognize that we've got peanut allergies, we've got all kinds of allergies. I don't think people realize that sometimes there are students that from cultural standpoint or religious standpoint that we actually make modifications there as well. Talk a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, we have a pretty good group of students that follow specific dietary patterns based off their cultural and religious beliefs. We have a good amount of students that follow vegetarian diet patterns, and we every day we have vegetarian options available to them at all of our schools. And then we have a fair amount of students that follow pork-free diets. And we actually do a pretty good job. All of our deli meat is pork-free. Our hot dogs are turkey-based hot dogs. So we actually don't have a whole lot of pork items that they need to be worried about or try to think about avoiding. But we can add alerts to their accounts so that the managers can help them identify which foods are appropriate for that meal pattern. And we can also encourage our managers to purchase other items that we have available that we may not menu at all of our schools, but could work really out really well for their students. So we encourage them to incorporate those into their menus as well.
How many kids estimate that we have that are on some kind of different?
We estimated about 650.
Okay. That's got to be a logistical nightmare.
It's a lot. Like, some of them, we started the accommodation far before I started here. Yeah. So, you know, I haven't come into direct contact with all of them, but they have active accommodations and alerts on their account.
And so it's really, I would imagine at the elementary, there's a little bit of teacher working with the cafeteria staff, but ultimately the cafeteria staff is working with that family and the kids to make sure that we're providing the right food.
Yeah, usually I'll be either notified by the parent or by a school nurse or a teacher or the cafeteria staff that a student has an allergy. And then I will typically reach out to the parent and just confirm it with them and make sure they don't have any other allergies that maybe weren't mentioned. And then we can go ahead and start the process for the accommodation.
So when we are procuring food, are we trying to go local? I mean, I know we've got some even neat programs of like local gardens, even student gardens of food. Is there anything going on there that maybe the average person wouldn't know?
Yeah, so last year we had a local foods grant and we were able to procure some local beef and we did a local beef pot roast. We've also procured local strawberries from Smith Perry Berry. And we've done local apples before, especially around the Tennessee Apple Crunch Day. We try to always get some local apples into our schools. And then we have also looked into doing some more this year with some local beef as well. We're still waiting to hear about that.
That's good. So what if someone comes up to you, Kristen, and they ask you what you do and you say, oh, I'm director of school nutrition in Hamilton County Schools. What's like the first question that you usually get from them? Or is there something that surprises them about your job?
That it exists. usually people just aren't aware that, that there's a need to coordinate all these efforts for the cafeterias because, you know, our staff work incredibly hard and they don't want to be managing contracts or paying bills. They're focused on cooking food for kids. So I think it just the awareness that it even is such a large operation is what surprises me.
Yeah. Mallory, what about you?
Yeah, the size and complexity really shocked me. When I came into
it. What are you doing before I should have asked
you that? This was my first job out of my dietetics field. I worked in a different career before deciding to jump into dietetics. But I had always worked in food service and I'd worked in like hospital settings and food service. So I'd been a part of large food service operations, but never to this scale. And I'm pretty amazed each day of like what we're able to pull off every single day with the amount of staff were able to do it, especially at the central office when you think about all of the employees and all of the kitchens. Yeah. So it was a big job. I knew it was a big job when I got into it, but I knew it would be a good challenge and a good way to learn.
Yeah. I think what is important or what I hope that people hear from this, number one, not just that your jobs exist, that's important, but that this is a complex operation, but it's done in service of kids and it's done at a level of individualized service that we're meeting the needs of 45,000 kids across this community day in and day out. And your staff, not just behind the scenes, but in the schools, they do an amazing job. And I know in the past we've had to work around some things. I don't think that people realize when we're out for weather that they're not getting paid. And you have always been a huge advocate that we've got to correct that. And typically the board's been able to go back and help in some of those places, but you've run an operation that financially you've even put in money. And when we give raises to our cafeteria staff, that's coming out of that self-funded budget. And so I want to publicly, before we move on, say thank you to you for your leadership in that, but also to all of our school nutrition staff, central office, and in schools, thank you for what they do. It's an incredible operation and one that, goes unseen often, but is really serving the needs of all of our kids and doing it really well. Before we go, so we're about to go to another segment, and it's with Orchard Knob, staff member at Orchard Knob Middle that started a veggie garden. We've got some of those throughout the school district, right? Are we using some of those in schools?
Sure. We have some locations that are growing. The students are growing the produce and then we serve it in the school. So Hickson High School is a great example. They regularly provide us with some lettuce and we're able to purchase it. So it's very getting a benefit from that. Oftentimes we're approached after the fact from gardens and if you were not aware that those children needed to wash their hands before they touched that produce, we can't accept it into our kitchen. So we encourage anybody who's interested in that partnership to get with us early. We can get with you what the guidelines are for us to serve it. Because I think it's a great opportunity for those kids to try something that they themselves grew. They're much more likely to eat it and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a neat program. Thank you both for joining us, Kristen, Mallory. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate it. And we are going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back with Sarah, who is at Orchard Knob Middle School. Welcome back to Let's Talk HGS. We're here at Orchard Knob Middle. I've got Sarah Robertson, a science teacher here at Orchard Knob, and three of her incredible students. So, Ms. Robertson, you've been at Orchard Knob set for 9 years.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your time here.
Well, my name is Sarah Robertson. I've been teaching science here, like you said, for 9 years. I came in 2017. I've taught both sixth and seventh grade science and have taken on a number of other roles since I've been here. And I honestly can't imagine teaching anywhere else.
How did you become a science teacher?
So I have a science background. I got my undergrad in environmental science. And then after that, I went and did a year of AmeriCorps, where I got into the school systems in Knox County. And then after that is when I decided I love teaching. I love being in the school system. And then I went back and got my master's in education, met my husband, moved to Chattanooga. The rest is history. Got my first job here at Orchard Knob Middle School.
Awesome. Was the AmeriCorps thing in Knoxville like a teacher training?
Not necessarily. A lot of women that were in my program did end up becoming teachers because we were so heavily involved with the school system. But it wasn't necessarily like for future teachers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people went off and did other things in the environmental field.
Yeah, that's great. So you got three amazing students here. Can you introduce them?
They are the best. I've got here Andre Hayes, Amaris Hemphill, and Jamisha McKeevy.
All right. You guys tell us a little bit something about yourself. Andre, you start us off.
Okay, so something, a little bit about myself was I was born in Bakersfield, California. I moved to Arvin around 2 years after I was born. And then I moved back to Bakersfield around when I was six. And then I moved down to Florida. And then after a while, I moved up to California. And then I moved up to Chattanooga. And for the past, I think, almost 4 years now, I've been living here.
Awesome. So California, Florida, Tennessee. That's amazing. What about you girls?
Something I like to do, like on the weekend, come like go fishing. And
who takes you fishing?
My stepdad. And then we'd be like, it might be a Coast Guard, I think that's what it's called. And then we'd be going fishing. I'd be mostly catching all those fish.
What kind of fish? Just like brim and bass, or like what do you like to catch?
It was bass. And then one time we caught a catfish E4.
You gotta be careful with those catfish, right? What about you?
So, my name is Amaris Hemphill, and I'm 11 years old. And something I like to do is, I just love playing my siblings and stuff and playing friends.
Good, good. So, we're here to talk about the garden club that you guys are starting. But before we do that, this episode is about cafeterias and food services. So, want to talk a little bit with you three about school lunches. I know we talked about this. We've got some mixed emotions going on here. The girls don't so much like it, but Andre, you're
I love it. It's amazing. I'm just trying to say that.
Like, what makes it good to you?
Okay, so what makes it good is that it's almost always hot and ready. And then sometime there's just a small bit of one thing and a lot of another thing. Like, there's a lot of yogurt, but yesterday we had quite a few sub sandwiches up there, actually.
I did.
And also yesterday, they were selling teriyaki chicken noodles. So, since they're doing that, they had fortune cookies up. So, I grabbed a fortune cookie after all of them doing everything I did. I went and sat down, and I got myself some water, which was amazing. It was cold and good. And so I had some applesauce. That's actually pretty good. And then chicken. And then the chicken was amazing.
So, like, you've got a lot of choices, it sounds like. Is it hard for you to make those choices?
No, as soon as I seen the teriyaki chicken,
you're like, right there.
Yeah.
Bam. I like
it. So, there's around two choices for hot lunch and then five or four for cold lunch. So you got a variety of options you could choose.
That's great. So girls, you guys don't so much like it, right? Andre and I over here like school lunch, you guys struggle a little bit. What would you like to see? Like, what could make our lunches better?
Chinese chicken.
Okay.
Like restaurant foods.
So just like a better variety, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if we like brought some options to y'all? Would y'all be willing to like taste some of them and give us recommendations of which ones?
That'd be amazing.
Okay. So what do you feel like there are enough choices though? Because you guys don't, you've already said you're not a big fan of it, but when you go to lunch, can you at least find something that you like?
Yes.
So what do you, what's your go-to?
If there's not nachos, I'll probably go to like yogurt or the peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do the same, but the reason I don't really like it is because we like, we having the same food like over and over.
So we need more variety, like change it up a little bit. How often do you see the same? Is it like once every week, once every 2 weeks, the same thing comes around?
Like, if it's like still the same kind, they will like give it to us. Like, if it's still more the same food, they'll end up pinning it out and then another choice.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is we need more options and we need more variety. Maybe some restaurant style food. That's good. That's good. So, this Robertson, you guys are about to start a garden club. Tell us a little bit, like, what led to this? Why?
So, I recently got into gardening myself. So, there's reason number one. I just think it's so satisfying being able to plant and then pick and eat things that you've grown yourself. Number two, we've had these garden beds for years. And since I've been here, I don't believe that they've been fully utilized. And number three, we haven't really had a great opportunity to get students involved in it. We've tried like, oh, maybe during the school day, we can like find time to get students out there to work on it, but it never really worked out. This year we started doing after school clubs, along with our tutoring program. And so I was like, perfect. This is it. We'll have the time to get out there and do what we need to do to clear up those garden beds. And so that was kind of what led to starting this club. And we had a lot of interest.
Really?
I would say of the after school clubs, ours is the most popular.
How many kids do you have in there?
It depends on who all ends up coming for tutoring that day. But we, on our first few days out there, had about 13 kids.
Oh.
That's good. That's good. Is there a way, obviously, to learn about gardening, but we talk a lot in Hamilton County about connecting with kids. You find it is a good strategy to connect with your students?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, myself and another teacher, Ms. Garcia, are out there clearing out the beds with them. And so, you know, you just kind of pick up more conversations, learn more things about your students you might not learn in class. So that's been really fun, too.
One thing, and this is something we've got to figure out, get better at Hamilton County, clubs are great, but we were talking earlier, there's not funding for it. So you're kind of on your own out there trying to get some help. You've gotten some donations. You've got a plan for how to move forward. Talk a little bit about like donations that you've gotten and then what the plan is moving forward.
So we have gotten donations from Ace. They were generous and gave us a $50 gift card to go out. And we basically just got garden gloves and some shovels and rakes with that, as well as some of our community partners. There was some money from Ace that they had donated a while back to Ms. Sherman. And Ms. Sherman was like, this is perfect. I've been looking for an opportunity to use this. Like, take this money that's been donated, go get some more tools. So that's where we are right now. As far as the future goes with the spring season, we do have our eyes on a couple grants that we're hoping to apply for once they open. So that is kind of our next move.
I'm not a gardener. So tell me like what it takes. I would assume you're not about to plant stuff right now. You're kind of prepping for
spring. And I'm still learning the whole garden thing as well. But right now we are just in clear out because a lot of weeds have grown over the years. So we're in clear out mode. And then once the spring comes, we will need some more fertilizer. We'll need to get the seeds, possibly some seed starter kits for those early colder months before we can transfer them into the bed. Some tools to water the garden with, And I'm sure more things will come up as we go, but that's kind of on our list right now.
What do you envision? Are you talking to the kids about what you're going to grow? Do they have input on?
Some things we've talked about. We kind of talked about what are some of the vegetables we like to eat, because I have been in a position myself where I'm growing vegetables and I'm like, why am I growing this? I don't even like squash. But some things that they discuss that they like are different lettuces, cucumbers, tomatoes, some of just like the basics, also things that are relatively easy to grow. So I think those are kind of the three top ones that we are definite: lettuce, cucumbers, tomatoes. I don't know that I had any squash lovers in my garden club either.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Are you three in the garden club?
We are. I'm not.
Okay. So what have y'all enjoyed being a part of it?
Yes. And the reason why me and her joined it, because we went to the same school last year in elementary, and our teacher, her name was Ms. Phillips. We did garden club in fourth grade and fifth, so we already know how to garden and stuff.
Where did you get elementary?
Orchard Knob Elementary.
Okay. So what were y'all growing at Orchard Knob Elementary?
We were growing like different kind of peppers, cucumber, squash, like vegetables.
So you guys are kind of like the in-house experts now. Yeah.
What we was doing is, so we was like in the garden club and saw it because we was looking at this thing. She like had a plan and what she was going to do. She was like going to put a gate around it. But then when she was like trying to get the money from these people, it didn't work out.
Yeah. Did, when y'all were doing this at Orchard Ave Elementary, did y'all ever get to take some of the vegetables home?
Yes. After they grew, we got, like, at the end of the school year, after they grew stuff, we had to take them home, and I ate.
What did you think? Was it good?
Yes, definitely cucumbers.
How did you prepare them? Did you cook them? Did you just...
I just washed them.
Slice them, medium raw? Good, good. So... In Hamilton County, we've got a number of these clubs going on, and some of them have plans to provide actually food for the cafeteria, not just that kids could send the food home with kids, but that we can actually incorporate in the cafeteria. And there are some steps that go to that. Have y'all talked about that at all?
We have not gotten that far yet, but I love that idea.
Would the plan right now just be to like grow it and community kids?
That is kind of what I was thinking. I guess we didn't know that giving it to the cafeteria staff to feed the school was an option.
But now that we are aware, I think that would be kind of cool. I feel like I made that. Enjoy that cucumber.
Andre, do you think that would work in the cafeteria?
Yeah, and I think one or two more vegetables that the students would love to eat in the cafeteria would be corn and potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Is it... And I know it's new in the process, and maybe girls, it's talking about your experience in elementary. Like, do you see this as like a way to have conversations with kids about healthy eating options and, you know, sustainability in terms of food?
Absolutely. I mean, I just having the opportunity to eat what you grow and stuff that you're actually growing that's, you know, pure, coming from the ground, not processed. I think incorporating those into our diets ourselves as adults and the children as well is huge. And having those conversations about why it's important to eat healthy for the long term.
Did some of those conversations happen in elementary for y'all?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it. What did the teacher talk to you about?
She said what she talked to us about is how we should grow them and how, I forgot the rest, but...
So, like, the first thing we had to do is, like, fix up the garden bed because it was, like, mostly all broke.
Yeah.
And then we had to clean out the garden beds. But the main problem about the garden bed is, like, every time we would go to recess, people would, like, throw trash in it or, like, step in it since it wasn't a gate surrounding it.
It's a good point. Do you think that because you guys are doing this as students, that other kids will respect it more and maybe even want to be a part of the garden club? Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
No, but do you think it'll happen in middle school maybe because kids are older?
Probably.
Yeah, good. What I think there are lessons like that, that kids learn through anything like this. I talk about, you know, athletics and band a lot, but I think gardening is one that, of course, you can learn science. You can learn about healthy eating habits. But I think there's just also a lot of life lessons. Have you thought about like what it could mean for them in that way?
I think a lot of it could just be pride and ownership over like, this is our garden that I worked hard to develop, create, build, grow, which I think is just a huge life lesson. Like, I mean, also it is time consuming. So it's dedication to something. It's not, you can't check on a garden once a week. You have to make sure that it's getting water, that you're picking the weeds, because otherwise it'll become what it currently is, which is a mess. So just
hey, there's some deferred gratification there too.
Absolutely.
You've got to do a ton of work on the front end and continue to do it, and you really don't see the fruits of your labor
until months down the road. Right. So it's kind of, and it's also that anticipation, like, oh, can't wait to see what my work is going to, what, how it's going to pay off.
Yeah. Andre, do you think there are some life lessons you can learn through gardening?
Yeah. Like, okay, one lesson that you can learn about is how to take care of things that are important that would help other people. Because I got a little bit of gardening experience because I grew some strawberries before over where I lived. And they were actually growing pretty good. But since there's insects outside, some be eating my aphid and stuff. So I had to use some repellent against the insects to make sure they would grow. And they actually ended up growing. And then we also had some mint as well.
Interesting. I love what you said, though. It's that you could use this as a way to help other people, right? Okay. Maybe some older community members that need fresh vegetables. Maybe part of the club's goal could be to provide food to people living in the community that need access. I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, like to shelters, orphanages. Preschools, normal schools, just all over the place.
Good, good. I think that's great. So as you move forward into this, obviously we talked about getting some support. Obviously anyone listening that wants to support would be great, but we talked about looking at a few grants to help get this started. What do you think the end goal, like if we're sitting here a year from now, what would you say like this was successful?
Honestly, just having students and more students involved and dedicated to this club, in addition to actually growing vegetables that they're able to bring home to their families. And then long term, maybe this point next year, we're able to produce vegetables that we can actually serve to our student body. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. You guys got any final thoughts? You want to shout out to anybody? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Do you have any final thoughts? Like, what are you excited about with this garden club?
Okay. The thing that I'm excited about the garden club is how many things they can discover. Like crossbreeding different fruits and vegetables and making new ones.
Science.
Yeah, there's a science lesson there, huh? What about you girls? What do you... You're the expert, so... Maybe excited about trying some different vegetables or?
Mostly excited about just mostly planting plants and cleaning out the garden bed so we can have fresh food. I try to pronounce it, but
fruits and veggies.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I mean, you know, to clean it out, just making it look better, but not just to make it look better, but to be able to do what you guys did at Orchard Knob Elementary and actually grow your own fruits and vegetables. That's really cool.
And have to get with, was it Miss Phillips you said? And see what her secret was to a successful garden.
Well, Miss Robertson, thank you for joining us. To you three, you guys are amazing. Really fun to sit down and talk with you guys. You're doing great stuff here. Looking forward to seeing what you're going to do the next 2.5 years here at Orchard Knob Middle. The point of this podcast, there are several things. So I don't know if you guys know this. Do you know how many meals we serve every day in Hamilton County? Do you think it's more than 25,000?
Yes.
Yeah, it's more. It's like 40,000 meals. So trying to help everyone see just how big our school nutrition office. Should I start from the beginning of that?
How are you on them?
How do you keep
going? So point of seeing how big the operation is and school nutrition to be able to serve 40,000 meals across this county, but also to talk about personalizing some of the school nutrition options to give you more choices. Even though you don't love them, we want to give you more choices, and then to find new foods that maybe you didn't know that you liked that now you know that you like. We are super proud of our school nutrition department, the work that they're doing, but also proud of the work that you're doing here at Orchard Knob Middle School to take some initiative, not only to try something new, but also to give back to the community and maybe even one day provide some food that's going to feed kids here at Orchard Knob Middle. So thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate what you're doing.
You can listen to it wherever your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Remember, if you have opinions or if you have topics that you want us to talk about, please send that in to HCS communications at hcd.org. Thank you.